What's up, guys? Welcome to this podcast. My name is Saul Monnelly at Saul Monnelly NBA on Twitter, joined by Michael Shapiro of Kron.com. Michael, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay. It's December 19th. We are doing this on the eve of my birthday, December 20th. I have not podcasted in 1 month. I'm convinced this episode is cursed. We've had multiple guests delay and cancel. We've had audio issues with one episode that I recorded. And then I decided to do a solo episode last week in which I forgot to press record. So we are finally here, Michael. I want to talk all things Rockets with you. The Rockets are currently 13-11. They're on pace to be a near 500 basketball team this year. If I were to guess, it's going to be anywhere between 35 and 44 wins, like somewhere around there. And that's a huge step up from where they were last year. With the hiring of Ime Udoka, with their free agency additions, with Alperen Şengün's increased usage, they look like a competent basketball team. And that was kind of their goal this season. Like, if you remember, Tillman Fertitta called this phase two in that rebuild press conference that he had with Ime Udoka. I think it was Ime Udoka's introductory presser. And that is precisely what I want to talk to you about today, Michael. Any and all things phase two. Let's start with a basic question. When you first heard that phrase, what did you view like a goal of phase two going into the season? Because the Rockets are pretty vague about it. And how has that changed at all since we've seen about a quarter of the season?
I think with the Rockets leading into phase two, I think it was the kind of situation where this is a franchise that needed to learn how to walk before it ran again, right? In the post James Harden era. And I think that's kind of what phase two meant to me, at least. Not necessarily a guarantee of making the playoffs, but at least in this first year, looking like a team that could compete for the play-in tournament, compete for the playoffs, and kind of a respectable team and organization once again. I think in that respect, it's clearly been a success. This is a team that is in the playoff hunt, in the play-in hunt. I think that's something that should persist throughout the 23-24 season.
Right. Like, I kind of viewed phase two for them this year specifically as like, okay, they have to make the play-in tournament, right? Like, they had real pressure to make the play-in tournament this year, I think. Otherwise, I thought heads were gonna roll. I mean, just judging by some of the reporting that Kelly Ico was out there doing, this seemed like a pretty top-down approach. The Rockets did not own their own draft pick. They are a team that has been rebuilding for three straight years, so they've been at the bottom of the NBA for three straight years. Top five selections, seven first round picks selected in 3 years, I think,
That's correct.
somewhere around there. A lot of cracks at bat, right? Some of these had to hit, and I think right now they look very clear on track to be a part of at least the play-in tournament. We'll see if they're ultimately like a six seed or seven seed or I think they're probably going to be in that 7 to 12 to 10 range. I think that's probably where I would set them at. What is a cl I think another when I'm thinking about phase two, I mean immediately I'm thinking, okay, so what is phase three, right? Because if that's phase two, I think naturally you're thinking, okay, phase three is title contention. Is that kind of what you're viewing?
I think for the Rockets, I think it's them becoming into that upper echelon, right, of Western Conference teams, of teams that could be in that morass of championship contention. I think that is probably the biggest looming question over the franchise is how you get from this kind of phase two to phase three. I think it is a little more complicated. I think finding this team's kind of ceiling, stars that are able to play on that stage is probably something I think that's the next step for this roster. But right now, like, I don't think the 23-24 Rockets are necessarily all that concerned with that.
No, I agree. I mean, this is all gravy, right? This season is pretty much just like, once they got to a certain threshold as a team, once we were comfortable saying, okay, this is going to be a top 10 defense all year. This is probably going to be a team that is, flirting with 40 wins at the minimum. They've been kind of just in cruise control at that point, right? They've been kind of playing at that rate. You mentioned that they're going to need to find clear-cut foundational stars, right? Because that's what you need to be in that upper echelon, right? As of right now, Who is a clear-cut foundational talent in your opinion on this roster? Because as of now, I'm only comfortable saying Alperen Şengün. Although I really like Jabari, I really like Tari, and I'm still more optimistic than most about Jaylen. I think as of now, the one guy that I'm putting in with ink is Alperen Şengün, and everyone else is kind of still fighting for number two, number three, whatever. Like I kind of think these spots are up for grab. What say you?
Yeah, no, for sure. I think when you're looking at players with who I would say is our all-stars this upcoming year or the future all-stars for this team, I think you can pen in or pencil in one of them, as you said, right? I think it's Alper and Şengün. And then from there, it's kind of that stage of, do we have guys that are going to grow into all-star level players? Are we going to have to make a trade to find that all-star level player? I think Jabari Smith is probably the archetype that we've seen grow toward that. I think Jalen Green is the player we've seen show that the most in previous years, although this year he seems further away from that than Jabari Smith, let's say. So yeah, right now, I mean, it is one player in Alperen Şengün. I think that's what I mean when I say we're going to have to find out what the ceiling of this group is. But right now they have an all-star level player in Şengün and then a bunch, really a bunch of good players, which when you look at last year, they had, you would say, zero, frankly, plus NBA players. And this is such a far cry from that this season.
Yeah, I mean, maybe like you could say like okay, Eric Gordon was like the closest thing they had to like a real driver, right? And even Eric Gordon, he wasn't like the guy who was going to stir the drink for them. Like he's just a guy who's a supporting player, right? At the highest levels, I think. When I look at them this year, they look like a team that is clearly being driven by engines, right? Like Şengün's an engine, VanVleet's an engine. They have guys off their bench that can spark and give them energy. They look much more cohesive. They look like a competent basketball team. Let's talk about Jalen Green for a second, because you talked about how before this season he looked like, okay, this is the guy who's shown the most promise of being the guy next to maybe Şengün, right? And I was lower on Jalen for most Rockets fans since the day he was drafted, right? This has never been a podcast that has stand for Jalen Green, right? Quite the opposite. I was a bigger Şengün guy, but now we've kind of reached the point where I'm significantly higher on Jalen than most Rockets fans. Rockets Twitter seems out on this dude. At least the vocal ones that I follow. And I think it's happening for two reasons. One, I think, I've said it multiple times, it's the expectations game. This third year leap stuff really took hold this summer for a lot of people. That Zach Lowe article did not help, right? I think that drove a lot of people into buying that this was going to be a year where he really took a step forward like that. Like, I think I did buy the idea that he was going to take a step forward. I just never thought that, right? And I thought people who were buying that were setting themselves up for disappointment, right? And I think, those people were kind of looking at Alperen Şengün like, why isn't he on this level? It's like, well, you kind of have to look at what these guys are producing prior, right? And project forward naturally. And sometimes it's not always a straight path. Sometimes there are starts and stops, especially with players like this, with guys who are so dependent on shooting as Jalen Green seems to be. And frankly, the second reason is Jalen's been pretty underwhelming lately. Like, let's be frank about that. In the month of December, Jalen's averaging 13 points per game, 5 rebounds per game, 3 assists per game, 2 turnovers per game on 53.1% true shooting. That's bad. That's bad. He's passive. He's missing layups. He's not hitting his threes. And he's turned the ball over far too much for someone who's having the ball as little as he has, right? He's a negative offensive player right now. No one's going to dispute you on that. With all that said, I do still think he's a better basketball player on the whole this year, and I'm optimistic that he's going to turn some of this around. Like, for example, I think he has a better rebounder this year. The numbers will bear that out, both advanced and per, right? He's a better free throw shooter. Which makes me more optimistic that his shooting will turn around eventually, right? And he's getting to the free throw line at a career high rate. I think the numbers are going to normalize to some degree. Now, where they ultimately normalize, we'll see. What is concerning to me is he's shooting 53% at the rim. That's a career low. That's got to turn around, right? Some of these are just point blank missed layups, right? He'll get all the way there and just blow it, right? Maybe some of that turns around. Some of that is not going to sustain. Neither is his 33% 3-point shooting, right? I think Jalen's at least a 35% 3-point shooter, and I would bet he's becomes more like a 36, 37% 3-point shooter for his career, right? I just trust the shot. I think the mechanics are fine, right? I think some of this is just shots going in. And I still trust the athletic package. That first step is still legit. I still trust the scoring instincts. I think he turns this around. That said, I don't blame people for being down, but I think maybe they should be as down as they are right now, because some of this, again, is so dependent on makes and misses. Where are you on Jalen?
Yeah, I think it's kind of an interesting situation with Jalen Green right now, in that he has such a different set of opportunities this season compared to last season. I think last year, in the first, you know, few years of his career, first couple of years, he was given the keys to the car, right? It was kind of roll the ball out, let Jalen have a lion's share of possessions, let him work through isolations, let him work through two-man games. Now it's like he is a complementary piece among a starting five, at least that has five capable scorers, right? And so it's a situation where he's having to pick his spot. He has not given, you know, an early, you know, share of shots, you know, in a lot of possessions or in a lot of halves. It's not like he's given this opportunity to let the ball go out in their role. And I think it's, I wouldn't say stunting his growth, but it's making it more difficult for him to find his rhythm, right? That's not a criticism. I think it's just a situation where he has to adapt to this new role where he is more a supplementary scorer or a complementary scorer than the true guy. What does that mean for his NBA future? I think that is actually a really interesting question, right? I think it's stuff that needs to be explored, because if this is more of a complementary piece whose primary strength is scoring the basketball, what does that really make you? Are you a hypercharged six man? Are you just a two guard who is good, not great? I think the idea of Jalen being this 25 point per game alpha scorer for a Rockets team, it's interesting, because I think that window is kind of like closing, or not closed, but at least closing a little bit. I think that's kind of interesting compared to previous years.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's closed, but I do think it's you're less rosy on that picture, right? Again, like a lot of this is like a lot of our perceptions could just change on a drop of a hat. If he just has some nice 3-point shooting games in like back-to-back games, right? Like how would we, if we were doing this podcast a week from now, would it be that much different? Like what things could be different, right? We don't really know, because so much of this is like he's going like 1 for 7. Like on like the start of games, right? So sometimes, and it's like, you know, what if he goes 4 for 7 and then he finishes that a game out stronger, right? It's like, it's so make or miss with him. But I do think he's going to ultimately normalize a little bit and, you know, elevate perhaps. Speaking of elevation, elevate your everyday with Suffice Jewelry & Co. Suffice Jewelry & Co. has an excellent collection of real fine jewelry, from custom pieces and engagement rings to your everyday pendants and chains on their site. New items are added regularly. If you have any jewelry-related questions, please hit the custom tab and leave an inquiry. They have excellent customer service and genuinely care to ensure you get whatever it is you need. Get right, shop Suffice. You can also use code #RedNation10 at checkout to receive 10% off any purchase. That's #RedNation10 at checkout to get 10% off. Going back to Jalen, patience is a big part of this, right? Patience is going to be it's going to be key. Not only like I'm not saying people are wrong for being like out on the guy, right? Like I think like it really depends on what out means, right? If you're out on him as the franchise caliber guy, yeah, you should be out, right? Like I think that window has closed, right? If you're out on him being like an all-star caliber player one day, I think that's it's too early to say. There's a lot of talk I see on Twitter about Houston possibly trading Jalen, you know, and I wrote about this in my article about Phase 2 today. I've seen fans speculate about, you know, Zach LaVine and Donovan Mitchell specifically. And here's my take on this. I am not trading Jalen Green unless it nets me a young star, or one that's at least second team all NBA or better, right? That's where I'm at. Second team all NBA or better, because I don't believe Jalen has that kind of upside. So that's where I would do it. That's where I'd feel comfortable in the trigger. And Zach LaVine doesn't fit that bill at all, right? He just doesn't. Donovan Mitchell is more borderline, right? He is definitely closer to that, but The issue with Donovan Mitchell is he becomes an expiring in 2026. Not expiring, but he has a player option in 2026. So he can be with you for 2 years and then just gone, right? And frankly, like, he's just right there in terms of talent to where, like, I'm comfortable just taking the risk, right? Just taking the risk with Jalen and just seeing where this goes. And if I lose out on that, I'm okay with it. I lose out on that. I still have assets to go get somebody else. And so I think somebody else will become available, right? I think with Mitchell, the only way in which I do that trade is if I'm confident that I can get some sort of extension, or at least another year commitment. If I can get him, like, if I can, through back channel negotiations, right? If I can get him to, like, commit to opting into that last year, or if I can get him to signing an extension, right? Then maybe I do a trade with Jalen, right? Then maybe I do a trade with Jalen, multiple firsts, and then you go get Donovan, because I think Donovan's actually not too old to where he doesn't fit in your timeline long term. Like, I think Şengün and Mitchell can actually fit, peak together when Donovan's in his early 30s, and Jalen, not Jalen, Şengün's in like his mid-20s, right? I don't think that's a crazy idea at all. But you have to get him to stay until his early 30s. That's the issue. That's why I'm reluctant to do such a trade.
I
But
think
at
it's the
that.
easy. Oh yeah, sorry, just to chime in. I think the easiest route for the Rockets, right? I mean, outside of a trade where you're sacrificing a lot of your war chest, is just to see that natural progression from Jalen Green, right? And I think that's still very much possible. And most importantly, there is a place in the offense in which a better version of Jalen Green or an increased, effectiveness from Jalen Green really helps. As you saw, I think against Cleveland, they still, especially late in games, need a guy who can aggressively slash to the rim, draw double teams off driving kicks. I think with Fred VanVleet, sometimes there's just not enough oomph to the offense and enough separation being created. And I think we see that in spurts with Jalen. So I think it's a kind of thing with him. It's just he's not so far away from what the Rockets need. I think they just need him to find his footing in this role more than find a guy for a new role, so to speak.
Yeah, I that's perfect. Like, it's not even just like that he's not capable, right? We see moments in where he's capable. It's
100%.
he's not doing it, right? Like, it's like and some of this may just be comfort, right? Like, I think the fit with Fred has been kind of weird, right? Because there are moments where I'll see Fred kind of wave him off, right? Where it's like, no, I got this, right? Like, even a possession like last night, like I saw Jalen on the wing just calling for the ball, like his hand out like this, right? And Fred kind of just waved him off to take a snapback mid-range jumper, right? And it clanked, right? Obviously, but like it's one of those things where I wonder if you can find a way to put Jalen in games where he can play more two-man game with Alper Şengün. I think their chemistry can be pretty good. I really do. I think their games I've always said this about the two. I think their games complement each other perfectly. I don't think there's any reason why they can't work together. I think this idea that there it has to be one or the other is stupid. I think fans that are I talk about it this way are dumb, right? I think these guys should get more reps together by themselves without Fred in the game, right? I think there has to be some maneuvering there by Ime. Like, perhaps you we can talk about this in a second. Perhaps you do a lineup change to get that desired effect, right? To get Şengün and Green playing two-man game together. Maybe that's the way to go, right? I think I'd rather that's probably where I would feel more comfortable going to before I do something as drastic as just trading the guy outright. I'd do a lineup change first, right? Maybe minimize Şengün's role, or maybe, we'll talk about this, maybe have him come off the bench for the time being, and then you have a way to still get him a ton of minutes, still get him a ton of reps, but get him more optimal reps, with better opportunities to be that pick and roll ball handler, and learn the game a little bit alongside Şengün.
Yeah, and I think with Jalen, I think his kind of two-man game often works. We see a lot of those dump offs he'll have with Şengün when they're kind of snaking, in and out of each other. And Alperen is such a smart player. He can kind of run two-man game, I think, with really anyone. And we could see that. I think more of a stagger between Jalen and Fred gets Jalen some more primary creative reps. When VanVleet's sitting, yeah, I mean it's hasn't been a perfect fit. And I think for Jalen, again, he's going from having a lion's share of possessions, especially
And
early in games, to being one of five.
And if I could, like, they did do some of that staggering, but the problem is they staggered without having Şengün in, right? They had him out there with no good pick and roll big. Like, it was like Jeff Green was like his best pick and roll big, right? And like, I love Jeff Green. Jeff Green's not going to be on the roster with Jalen long term, right? It's just not helpful for them to gain chemistry like together like that. I think it's more helpful. Not only like is Şengün just a much smarter player, right? In how he sets screens, how he makes passes, he is just gonna be here, right? Whereas Green probably isn't, right? So like, I think if doing that again might not be the worst idea. Just doing that, like staggering those two, and just have Şengün out there instead. You know, like instead of whoever was out there before, right? I think that would be a smarter way to go about this. But sorry, I didn't mean to cut you up. I like the idea of even trying that first before you do something like benching him.
Yeah, for sure. I still think that Ime Udoka, with Jalen especially, is still kind of searching for what that right role is, the right minutes deployment, and trying to see, and I think he is doing this, trying to get him at least a few more possessions or a few more minutes in games where he's kind of running the show, so to speak. It's just that those reps have been kind of taken away, and a guy like Jalen, who has always had the ball in his hands so much, is simply adjusting. I think it's more an adjustment period than a sign of reason to panic.
And it's weird that the three of them haven't found ways to get along. Like not get along, but like the three of them haven't like found sets where they can all play off of each other, right? I think if you're gonna make a criticism for Ime Udoka, who I think has been excellent this year, that could be a legitimate one, right? Like that those three aren't operating on the same level all the time together, right? And I just like to see more some more creativity there offensively. Because I don't think it doesn't have to be all this or all that. It could be all everything, right? I think, maybe if that creativity can't be had from a play set standpoint, maybe it just takes to something as simple as a stagger to start things, and then you, if things change down, if things aren't changing down the line, maybe you do something a little bit more drastic. Let's talk about that. That thing that could be a little bit more drastic. Tari Eason's been amazing. These past, what is it, handful of games, right? He started off with the flu, coming back from injury, I believe, from it was like a contusion or something, some sort of lower leg ailment that Tari Eason came back from. Then he got the flu, and he played through it, and he's been. I mean, Tari Eason was amazing last year. Right, like specifically the beginning of last year, he was kind of their Energizer bunny, and he in preseason it really looked like, okay, this guy's gonna be like a serious like 25 minutes per game guy. Before I don't know what the hell happened between preseason and regular season, his minutes just got pulled back like crazy. But it looks like he's found his comfort in the offense now. It looks like he's become that legitimate one of their seven guys. Right, he's become one. He's closed a ton of games for them already. Ime just trusts him in a way that is surprising for any second year player, but specifically one for a second year bench player. But he's been that good, not only defensively but offensively. He's been really great at improv. Right, that's a skill that Tari has. Like he's like I never understood like the basketball IQ criticisms with him because it's like. From my perspective, he actually has pretty good improvisational skills on the basketball court. Not only just handling the basketball, passing the basketball, he makes some kind of crazy passes sometimes where I'm like, oh, that's going to be a turnover. Oh, no, it wasn't. It's like he's got long enough arms to actually make that pass follow through, right? Driving the basket, his finishes are kind of crazy and hectic. He's a freight train in transition. Tari has been amazing. I mean, last year I thought he probably should have been starting if we're going off of merit, strict merit. This year, if we're going off strict merit, I think he should be. He might. There might be the case that he should be starting again, right? And the natural question is: Are you, if you're Houston, do you pull that trigger, or do you let do you give someone like Jalen a longer leash? And I, instinctually, right now, I'm hesitant to do something like that. I think you don't want to hurt someone's confidence, right, when they're having a rough stretch. And he has Jalen's already been benched in a lot of fourth quarters, so it's not like it's like too drastic of a it's gonna make too drastic of a difference in terms of closing games. Like Kari might still end up playing more minutes without having to start, right? So I think if I'm Ime, I ride this out for like 10 or 20 more games, see if Jalen improves. But if he doesn't and Tari continues on this track, I might pull that trigger by the All-Star break. I'm not I'm see I would seriously consider it. Like I would seriously consider that just because of that not it's not so much Jalen. Oh, it is some of Jalen. It is more so Tari.
Yeah, I think right now with Tari, it's a situation where, in regards to Jalen, why mess with a good thing? I think with Eason, he's finishing games right now, which is more important than starting them anyway, right? Kind of how the old adage goes. And I think they kind of like bringing him off the bench because he is an ace defender, yes, but as you kind of noted, he has a better handle. He's a better kind of second reaction decision maker than I think that people gave him credit for, than I probably personally gave him credit for. Like, he's not just that 3-and-D wing. He has some creation ability, obviously, for himself, driving as kind of that straight line guy to the rim, but also for others. You know, he sees the corner pretty well. He always makes that hit-ahead pass very well. If you have a guy on the bench who can be a connector as well, I'm not necessarily so eager just to move him into the starting lineup because he's quote-unquote playing better. I think it's kind of a fit and gel thing when he comes into those second units. But you're not wrong at all. He has been one of their five best players. He is a starter, I think, in terms of production thus far. I just don't think that a role change is necessary for him, or the Rockets or anything like that right now.
Right now, yeah, I agree with you. I would ride this out for again like 15 or so games, but I'm not taking that off the table, right? Like I'd be willing to pull that trigger this season if this continues, right? If both of those trends continue, if Jalen continues on shooting as poorly as he has this past month, and if Tari continues playing as well as he has this past month. Sorry, go ahead.
No, and I really just love these lineups so that do feature Tari, Dylan, and Jabari together. That is one of that is absolutely kind of wreaking havoc defensively. I asked Ime Udoka about that, and he said, yeah, if
Throw
we can
in
have,
Jayshon? Yeah, go. Sorry, go ahead.
just make it, no, yeah, make it just this kind of real wing heavy kind of Raptor-esque lineup. And I think that's fun. I think those three together really work. Alperen is more mobile defensively than people have given him credit for in recent years. So the Rockets can throw out these super formidable defensive lineups, which I think has been really fun and one of my favorite developments that we've seen from Ime Udoka this year.
They're a fun team to watch defensively. They're not like one of those boring and slow plotting defenses like Milwaukee, right? Like Milwaukee's like a they're a great defense like when they're clicking, but the problem with Milwaukee is they're boring and they're calculating and they're
From
okay,
the
you can
drop.
take these yeah, you can take these shots, right? But and we're not really going to go out and gamble a lot, right? The Rockets gamble a lot and it's fun. It's fun. Like honestly, like it may not always make for like the best defensive principles, but man, like it works when you're long enough. It works when you can do it. When you're gonna win that gamble enough, and the Rockets win that gamble enough. Like Şengün's a guy with great hands, like great hands, and that helps him a lot defensively. And I think when you put him alongside guys like Jabari, like Tari, you give him a lot more free rein to kind of gamble like that. And it starts the fast break in a way that you wouldn't think it does. Like and Şengün's a great hit ahead passer. Tari's a great hit ahead passer. And they have guys who are risky, like who are you're comfortable giving the pass to in transition for risky possessions, right? Like Dylan Brooks gets a lot of crap thrown his way that he finishes, like a lot of bullshit that he somehow finishes, right? Same thing with Tari. I don't know how Tari finishes some of this stuff, right? Other than just being so long and so strong and so crafty, I think that like though that's just such a talent to have, something that most good defenses just don't do, like just take risks like they do, not only in defensive possessions but out of defensive possessions. They take risks when they're in that transition game, and it's fun. It's a fun brand of basketball. I'm like I The Rockets are imminently more entertaining this year than they've ever been. I mean, not than they ever been, than they've been in this at any point in this rebuild.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's just night and day from the Steven Silas era, as we know it, in just so many regards. Again, we will see if this is a team that is able to rise past, you know, playoff competitor, I think, in the next couple of years. But for now, this is definitely a team that is in that realm, and that's pretty darn fun given recent years.
If you were to bet guys who are here for phase three, right? Like, if I had to put a gun to your head, pick guys that you think are going to be here, right? You don't have to get water gun. Okay, water gun. All right. I can go first if you want. Şengün is number one for me. Number two, I would say, is Jabari. Jabari's really come along. Like, Jabari is, I mean, talk about fun. Seeing his confidence level be back and him hitting those mid-range jumpers again and, like, those fadeaways and, like, him handling the ball fluidly. I don't know what the hell he did in yoga this summer. Like, he is so much more fluid, right? Like, it's gotten me thinking about signing up for yoga. Like, if I can become as fluid as I was, like, when I was 18, like, that'd be nice, right? That's nice. Like, just to see him, like, be happy again playing basketball and seeing him get to his spots and just take him. Don't think about it. Just take him. It's fun watching Jabari, like, he become this efficient scorer. He's like 57% true shooting for the season. He was like at 51, 52 last year. That's a massive jump for one season. I've never seen a young player get that much better at ball handling year over year than he has. Taking contact at the rim than he has. Just putting things together in a way that I would not have predicted. I did not predict. I predicted against this. Then he has. So he'd be my number two. Number three, I'd put in Jalen. And the reason I'm not putting Tari there is because I'm not sure if they can pay all these guys. Mm-hmm. Right? And there's so much overlap in skill set that you're going to have to pick some guys. Right? And I think if you're going to, you know, Jabari is going to come up for pay earlier. I mean, we got to talk about when contracts come up first, right? Jabari comes up first. And if they end up paying Jabari and you already have Dylan Brooks on the book, I mean, I kind of feel like there's a scenario in which ownership goes, or the front office goes, like, hey, we kind of already are fine on wing depth. You know, we're okay just riding it out with Jabari, Dylan. Maybe we keep Jay Sean. We can keep signing other wings with the mid-level exception, whatever. I think that's kind of why I'm not putting Tari in that mix. But he's on the border. But that's the guys that I would say I would have in for tier three. In Penn, Jabari, Şengün, Pencil, Jalen, because it's just how rough he's looked so lately. And then everybody else just kind of fighting just to see if they can try and get there. What say you?
Yeah, I mean, it's not to totally cop out, but I think the interesting thing is I don't know if there's anyone we can pen in for the next decade of Rockets basketball necessarily. I think that, yeah, Alperen Şengün is the most likely. Also, you know, he previously in recent years didn't seem to be a favorite of the current, you know, regime or group, you know, running things, right? So I think that there's no real guarantee. It's also kind of a depending on, what do you say? When does phase three start? What does that mean? I think you should just kind of track it through. Who do we expect to be extended from their rookie deal? I think that's probably the smartest way. Most recently, I would bet more on Alperen than Jalen, right? I think that's pretty obvious. I think that'll be the biggest first question for this franchise is Jalen Green going to get that big money max extension, at least max for what he would be able to get as a player who hasn't qualified for any all-star teams or anything like that? So it's not a huge number, but I think that's going to be the first big decision. I think Alperen will get whatever his max slot is for a player of his age and kind of accomplishment level. Jalen, I think that's going to be a little trickier of a negotiation when that time comes. So I don't really want to say, you know, we're going to pen A, B, and C guy in for the next phase.
Come on, Michael, be fun. Be fun.
I'll say I feel pretty darn good about Alperen. I do feel just based on how soon that contract would have to be up, I feel a little shakier about Jalen. And that's not to say anything about him as a player. It's just if you're a wing player who is not, you know, proven to be a clear all-star and your extension window's coming up and it's a team with a lot of guys who have extensions coming up, he's the guy I guess I'd say I feel least confident about in that realm of guys who aren't last year's draft pick, so to speak. I'm not going to talk about Amen or Cam yet because we haven't seen them.
No. I think it would be crazy to talk about Amen or Cam right now in terms of tier three. I can't wait to see them play with this mm-hmm. main roster, specifically Amen. He's coming back.
Yeah, I'm back.
Yeah. It's going to be really fun. But you're right. Like that, what they decide to do with that 2021 class, specific, obviously, you know, Jalen and Chengun. So because of where this front office comes from, right, the Daryl Morey tree, right, the way that they operate from financial flexibility standpoint, I would not be surprised if neither of them get extensions. I would not be surprised if they let these go to restrictive free agency for both of these guys. And the reason I say that is look at Tyrese Maxey in Philadelphia. Everyone was shocked when that dude didn't get an extension. But this is kind of like how these dudes operate, right? These guys like to keep financial flexibility until the last possible minute. They're not going to pay until they have to, right? And not to say that they're not going to pay, but they want to, you know, maintain that flexibility to make moves. I think Jalen is the most likely candidate for that extension, obviously. Not Jalen, excuse me. Alperin is the most likely candidate for that extension. And if you're going to get an extension negotiation with these guys, I would not give a serious offer to Jalen right now. I just objectively, he hasn't earned that, right? I think I would give something that's very, very team friendly, right? That I'd be very comfortable eating. And that's not going to be something that he's going to be comfortable accepting, frankly, right? So I don't think Jalen gets extended as of now. As of now, I don't think Jalen gets extended. Obviously, things can change. And as far as from that 2022 class, I just for redundancy purposes, I think they take Jabari up earlier than they take Tari, because of the way the roster is formulated. But these are interesting decisions. And you mentioned you asked a question there in you know while you're speaking that I thought was interesting. When does phase three start, right? And how long does phase two go, right? Is it just 1 year? Is phase two 2 years? Is it 3 years? I think it's probably in that 2 to 3 year range. And I think this is going to take some patience from the ownership standpoint, where like if they go lateral next year, right? Like if they're a 41 team, if they're a 500 team again next year, is Tillman going to be someone that's like, okay, we got to roll some heads. Why aren't we at phase three yet? Or is he willing to see this through to phase three the following year, right? I think that's something I'm very curious to see. I kind of think, in my personal opinion, Rafael has made some mistakes, no doubt about it. I'm comfortable giving him a modest extension, right? I think he's earned that. Not something like one of the highest paid execs in the league or anything, but like average exec money for a couple more years. I'm comfortable adding that on to whatever Rafael's deal is. I don't know what that is. I think he had like a 4 year deal or whatever. Or a three-year deal, 3+1 type thing. I would add a couple more guaranteed years onto that, because I think this core plan is just seeming to come together nicely, right? Even with some of the misses, and I think if they give this the proper breathing room, phase two, we can get to phase three, and you don't have to have a drastic fast forward at any time. That's what you don't want to do. You don't want to be in a position where you're having to make a trade to save your job.
No, I think that, you know, you listen to Tillman Fertitta's recent comments. He recently talked to us in the media as the Rockets were not breaking ground, but giving progress on the new practice facility opening next summer. He's pretty thrilled with the direction, I think, of the franchise, you know, and I think rightfully so. He cited that the James Harden trade demand put them in a very difficult situation, but instead of, you know, hanging in this morass of the middle and, you know, make some kind of Ben Simmons half measure acquisition, Rafael took the difficult but correct path, right? They tore down, they acquired young assets, and now when they had a chance to, they have built back into a team that is respectable again, right? And Tillman seems very, very happy to not be in the dregs of the Western Conference anymore. And I think that he is kind of more than comfortable, and rightfully so, giving Rafael Stone the time to execute his vision. I think right now we're in the phase of growing the young talent and improving the talent on the roster, and I think that's what they've done. Again, it is a tricky situation for how you get to championship contender status from this current group. I think that's a problem that Tillman thinks is a problem for 2025 and 2026 Tillman. And I think that's honestly like pretty fair of him, right? And I think for the Rockets, we don't know when they're going to turn the corner. I don't think they know when they're going to turn the corner. It's more, you know, is a 2025 or 2026 free agent available? Is a 2025 or 2026 trade candidate available? I think right now the Rockets are both a good team, a young team, and a team with flexibility. And that's all you can kind of ask for right now.
Yeah, listen, like I'm not by any means saying that Tillman hasn't given Rafael any the proper breathing room, right? I think he's done a commendable job, right? I'm just wondering how long that lasts, right? Because we've seen owners grow impatient, right? And I sometimes wonder if the Kroenkes had grown impatient if like there weren't like Jamal Murray injury preventing the Nuggets from like, you know, taking that next step, right? Like, I think sometimes I look at that Jamal Murray injury, I'm like, that kind of like happened at the perfect time for the Nuggets because it kind of gave them another year, right, to grow even more, right? Like, I wonder, like, sometimes, I mean, more often than not, I see teams hit the fast forward button too quick, too soon, right? It's like, oh, we're ready to go. We're really good. We should go trade for Donovan Mitchell. We should go trade for CJ McCollum. We should go trade for, like, you see teams make those kinds of trades. And I just hope that that Tillman is willing to see this through for another, at least one more season of mediocrity after this one. Because I think it's possible that we're there. But in the meantime, this was a good season. This has been a good season. I think this is exciting basketball to watch. I think you can't be upset at the growth we've seen. They have a ton of flexibility, as you said. And I think it's okay to just enjoy this. Hopefully that extends to the top of the organization. But I'm from a fan level, I'm definitely enjoying this. I'm having a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think having a team that is playing competitive basketball into the spring, I think is important for the fans. I think it's important for the young players on this team. And I think it was just pretty shrewd, ultimately, I think, of the Rockets to understand that they needed to walk before they run. I think in hiring Ime and bringing in Fred and Dylan, they are doing just that. And yeah, let's worry about the ceiling of this team at a different time. I think this year for the fan base, for Tillman, for everyone in the organization, simply being a playoff team would be a major, major success.
For sure. Thank you so much for coming on, Michael. Why don't you go ahead and tell the people where they can follow you on social media and read your work?
Yeah, for sure. You guys can read all of your Rockets content for free, as always, at chron.com, C-H-R-O-N. You can get my personal work on Twitter at mshap2, M-S-H-A-P-2. So I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks to you so much for coming on. For the listeners, if you enjoy this show, please go ahead and give us a subscribe on Twitter, a thumbs up to this video. Obviously, subscribe to our channels on iTunes, or I guess it's Apple Podcasts now, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Give us a 5-star review there too. Helps other people find the show. And yeah, guys, have a good rest of your day.